All right. Sunday morning, 7:09:23. This is a teaching called You Have the Say. Now, we don't coordinate, just so you know. Holy Spirit's the coordinator. All right. This is what the Spirit's saying this morning. No longer grieve over what you see or hear. For when you do this, it brings fear. Steer clear of fear, for it will neutralize your faith. I made you in my image and likeness to speak and act like me. I made you like me so that you could change what you do not desire. I've given you the say about everything. My people are waiting on me to do something. When the something that needs to be changed has been given to them already. I sat down and I am at rest. And by giving you this advantage, you are also to be at rest. When you see something you do not want, when you see something, you're to change it. My people, instead of speaking to their mountains, their circumstances, try to solve it with the arm of the flesh. They use the flesh for everything in their lives that does not fit into what they want. In most cases, it is ineffective. I've repeatedly said to you that it happens in the spirit first. You are a speaking spirit. This is how the solution is for my children. When words of fear are spoken, it will work the same as when words of faith are spoken. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. This trickster comes to steal the word. He wants to have you operating in his ways and means narrative. Is there any wonder we have a ways and means committee in our government? It's not God's ways and means, not at all. All right, let me pick up where I was. He will use fear to do this. Continue to look at your circumstances with the eyes of faith. Ask me what to speak, and I will give you the words of faith to say. Since you have the say, why would you say what you do not want? Observe my ministry when I was in the earth and how I handled things. I spoke to winds, waves, fig trees, crippled legs, withered arms, fevers, lack, dead men, and they all responded by the word of faith. I did not speak anything but faith. Fear never came out of my mouth. And yes, I was a flesh and blood man just like you. Beware of mixture. Fear out, faith in. A double-minded man, that is the one that goes back and forth between faith and fear. All right, we're going to look at the ministry of Jesus this morning. Matthew chapter 6. First verse is 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Then it goes on to talk about how he takes care of nature. Think about it. Just picture in your mind the world system. How does it do? Every minute that you've got the television on or you've got social media on, there's something popping up about you taking care for yourself. Thought for yourself. All right. Verse 30 says, wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast to the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. That's the way of the world system. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. I like what the Amplified says. His ways of doing and being right. He's a speaking spirit. And his righteousness and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore, take no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. For you to get into self-care is evil. I didn't say it. The word said it right here. To take thought is evil. All right, let's go on over to Matthew 8. Verse 2 and 3 there says, "And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed." You know, we've been schooled in the words of the devil. And it's second nature, and we're still surprised when we get it, even though we spout it out of our mouth, because it's second nature from the time we're born. But when it comes to the things of God, it's not like that. It's like going against the grain to get anybody to get that mouth under control and quit sabotaging themselves. All right, verse 5 here. "When Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant will be healed. For I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth; to another, come, and he cometh; and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." Great faith. He took God at his word. That's great faith. That when you speak the word, you know it's a done deal. That's the greatest faith you can have. Isn't that what it is about speaking to the mountain? You doubt not in your heart. But you believe that those things which you say will come to pass? Do you believe it? Do you just spout it? Is it just like praying the rosary to you? Is it just a rote? Or is it living and alive and productive and active? Yeah. Think about it. You know, the Lord's gotten us to where we don't say so much anymore. A lot of us in the Word of Faith, when we started out, we were no more better than Polly on a cracker. We were just repeating and repeating and repeating and repeating, and there wasn't any power in it. This isn't about a rote. This is about something that's living. This is natural for the Christian. But the people will look at you like you're, what planet are you from? Heaven? No, I'm from Earth. All right, 23. When he had entered into a ship, his disciples followed him, and behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch the ships were covered with the waves, but he was asleep. His disciples came to him and woke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? See, people that decree and speak and God, you know, their words come to pass, they don't know what to do with them kind of people. They're in that weird group out there. No, the normal Christian. This is normal for the kingdom of God. 28. When he was come to the other side, into the country of the Gerasenes, there met him two possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? There must have been two instances. This is two men. The other one was one man. The Gadarenes must have been known for lunatic. Maybe had a lunatic island or something where they put all the crazy people. And there was a good way off from them a herd of many swine feeding. So the devils besought him, saying, If thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine. And he said unto them, Go. When they were come out, they went into the herd of swine. And behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea and perished in the waters. All he said was, Go. And they obeyed. You know, if we get to the point that our word is good, we speak, and that's the end of it. There's no backtracking. There's no the next day if it doesn't look like you want it to. You're a bawling and a squalling. Oh, God, why don't you do it? Back to the old, you know, hog pen. Why did those demons obey him? Because they knew he was the real deal. When they know you're the real deal, they'll obey you too. Yeah? They certainly will. We're getting there. Thank you, Lord. Okay, Matthew chapter 9. I just did the book of Matthew because there's so many of the healing things in Matthew. All right, verse 1. And he entered into his ship and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, This man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether it is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, then saith he to the sick of the palsy, Arise, take up thy bed, and go into thy house. And he arose and departed to his house. And when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. It hasn't changed in this day and hour. When men see a miracle, so a supposedly a natural act from a person that's in the kingdom of God, oh, it's a miracle. No, it isn't. It's just people acting naturally, supernaturally. Is it true? The way we really should be acting? We're not going back every 5 minutes and looking to see if anything's happening. Jesus just walked on. The man had the choice to respond. He did. It was up to him. Jesus gave him the choice. Yeah, okay. Verse 18. While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, My daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, that if I may touch his garment, I shall be whole. So she said. But Jesus turned about, and when he said, Daughter, be of good comfort, thy faith hath made thee whole. The woman was made whole from that hour. And when Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the ministers and the people making a noise, he said unto them, Give place, for the maid is not dead. But so you see, there, the other account in Luke talks about when he's dealing with this woman, his servants came and said, Your daughter's dead. Don't trouble the master. And Jesus said, Don't let go of what you first said. If you'll come to my house, you'll heal her. Right? But when the people were put forth, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose, and the fame hereof went abroad unto all that land. Jesus said, She's just asleep. No, she's dead, you fool. Can't you see she's dead? And they laughed at him. Yeah, them faith people, they like to laugh at them until someone actually raises up from the dead. They're not laughing anymore, are they? Kind of like with Lazarus. They weren't laughing. It says they laughed him to scorn. All right, 27. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. What did Jesus do? Just observe the ministry of Jesus. He just went about his business, and he came on to circumstances and situations, and he handled them. And I don't believe he always had all night to pray about it. Now, it was prayed up. But this, he just acted naturally, supernaturally. I know some of the biggest testimonies I've ever heard of anyone I've ever prayed for in my life has been people where it's just a suddenly. I didn't do anything. I remember praying for a lady one time. She wanted to pray for her breast. She'd been to the doctor and there's lumps and all this stuff. But as I'm praying, I put my hand over her abdomen. Later she comes back and says they did a sonogram, they couldn't find anything. And she said, I didn't tell you they had found stuff down here too, but when you put your hand over there. She said, I didn't ask you to pray there, but you, as you're praying, you're being led. You put your hand down there and prayed. See, stuff like that's just natural. We'll learn to flow with that. God will show us what to do when we come across circumstances, when people are in trouble or whatever the case may be. You'll think, well, I was just me. Well, yeah, you are a speaking spirit, right? Just like God. When the Lord saw the earth in the mess, he said, okay, son, we better fast and pray for 30 days, because we got this problem. We got to handle this. Might be. We make it too religious. We've been taught we have no power. Yeah, he said he gave us power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means would hurt us. Do we believe it? No, we don't act like it. We're scared of everything. Oh my God, they're poisoning everything. And every day the list gets bigger. They add and add and add and add. Everything you eat, everything you drink, everything you wear. Don't you think the Lord knew what they would do? All right. 27, and when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? And they said unto him, Yea, Lord. He touched their eyes, saying, According to your faith be it unto you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, See that no man know it. Why? So they wouldn't talk him out of it. You know, with the little girl raised from the dead, he said, give her something to eat. Not like we talked about Brother Hagin talking about that meeting, that lady they prayed for, and they were going to pray again. And they took her right out of God's hands and recovery into death. Don't let anybody talk you out of what you know to be true. Just can't do it. All right, 32. And as they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with a devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake, and the multitudes marveled, saying, It was never so seen in Israel. There's something that Rick Renner says in his book on apostles and prophets that just really rang home with me. We're spiritual, apostles and prophets are spiritual bodybuilders. That's what the scripture says. And so what the Spirit just said to me was when I was reading that, he said, you've been really good at your jobs. And you've done your jobs for a lot of years. Now you're going to find out what your real job is. This, wherever you go, just act by spiritual instinct. Not what you learned in the corporate world, but the medical field or whatever. What you know by the Spirit, and don't be afraid. The Holy Spirit will show you what to do. We're supposed to, when we come across situations and circumstances, He's given us something to say. We don't have to go home and pray and fast to find out what we need to do. Just act naturally. You remember the song? They're going to put me in the movies. All I got to do is act naturally. Well, Lord's fixing to put you on the scene and on in the movies or whatever. We're going to be the ones that are going to be running this earth. Do you understand? This is the way He always wanted it to be. This is what the kingdom of God is. This is what the kingdom is about. Everyone will know the Lord from the least to the greatest. But the point is, it's not going to happen overnight. It's going to be a progressive thing as God's church stands up and begins to do the works that Jesus did. All right. People marvel then, will they will now too. They'll say, whoa. I said, well, it's just normal. It's just natural. I went and got my nails done, and it just so happened that the other lady was out. So I had time to talk with my nail tech. Began to speak to her. The Lord just led me to begin to speak with her about power of the tongue. She's a warrior, and every time I'm in there, she's talking about all the bad and all the burdens she carries. And I just kept talking to her. I said, you know, death and life are in the power of the tongue. You're a speaking spirit. God made you to create. And I just quoted her scriptures just off the top of my head. The Lord led it. I knew it was the Lord. I was on the phone to one of my daughters the other day, and the man's stuff just started coming. And she said, oh my gosh, I've never seen that before in that. I'm going, what am I doing? I'm just acting naturally. I'm not trying to, oh God. No, I'm just going, that's what Jesus did. He had so many people following Him in crowds and stuff. He administered all day long. That's why He prayed at night. Didn't have time during the day. He had so much to do. His people were dying, perishing everywhere He looked. They were under government tyranny just like we've been all of our lives. Satan's kingdom was alive and well when Jesus walked the earth, just like today. And we just need to be open and not be afraid. And you know, the easiest thing in the world to minister to people is not being religious about it. It's just striking up a conversation and maybe a comment made that just gives you a point of entry. Well, you know what? I had that, and you know what? The Lord healed me. Oh, really? How'd that happen? Well, I got this little book at home, or, you know, that's why I like to carry stuff with me, because I've given out a lot of books just that way. Or whatever the case may be. If God has done something for you and they have a similar situation, telling them that God will do it for them, and we'll just pray right now. We'll just agree together. You know, Scripture says if any two of us would just agree together, He would do it. It's not hard. It isn't hard. It's natural. It's supernatural. People get this idea that if you're a spiritual person, you're like a monk or something. You know, you're just these weirdos that don't fit anywhere. No, we're just like everybody else. But we have some extra. We've got the Holy Spirit. He'll do the work through us if we'll just be a vessel. You know, He sends you across people's tracks all the time. You strike up a little conversation with them. And you know, it's not long before it's a coming out of their mouth what they're experiencing. If you wait long enough, you're going to hear it. But God will give you the answer. Help them. All right. Did I read 32 and 33? Nope.
Yeah, you did.
Okay, 9:30. Okay. All right, people marveled then, they marvel now. All right, Matthew 10, verse 7 and 8. I remember one time, I got to tell this story. I was moaning and telling Mary about someday when the Lord uses me for ministry, and she said, I thought you'd been doing that for years already. I thought, you know what? She's right. Because we get these religious ideas, it has to be in an institution, or it has to be because some preacher says now you can go out and do these things. No, it doesn't. God calls to ministry, not man. Not man. And I was messed up for a long time because I thought I had to come through the chain of command in the church by men. They don't know what the heck they're doing anyway. I'm going, no, it's not by man. Now, there has been times where there might be a minister that calls out someone, and it is true. But for the most part, God calls you. God commissions you, and he's the one you answer to. Don't forget that. And who's to say just because you're not at the top of some institution does not mean that what you do is not important, because every member of the body of Christ is important. It's just like every part of your body is for a reason, and it helps your body function. You take a part out, it doesn't function as well as it's supposed to. It's the same way in the body of Christ. We may be in different fields with different plows, like we were talking about, staying in your lane and doing what God told us to do. But at the end of the day, he's going to make you give an account, not what somebody expected you to do or had expectations that you should do because that's what they thought you ought to do, but what God said you do. He's going to question you about, what did you do with what I told you to do? Even as little as it may seem, 2 people, 3 people. Don't ever forget that. Like we were talking the other day, that when all these big dogs get to heaven, or whenever the rewards will be given out, if it's on the earth or in heaven, whatever, all the big dogs will be waiting for the big old medals and their crowns and their robes and all that stuff. And he said, no, I want that little 80-year-old grandmother back there up here. She's the one that's getting this honor. She prayed in secret on her knees. There was one woman, they called her Camel Knees. She prayed so many hours on her knees, she ruined her knees. They were all calloused over. Camel Knees was her nickname. All right. Matthew 7 and 8. 10, 7 and 8. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Here's the kingdom of heaven. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. There it is. Isn't that what Jesus said when he come out of the wilderness in Luke chapter 4? Isn't that what he said? What the kingdom was basically was this, setting the captives free. He proclaimed jubilee that day. All right, Jesus gave his instructions. Normal kingdom operations to his disciples. They just mimicked him. They did what he did. They watched him. They did what he did. All right. Matthew 11, verse 5. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. There it is. There it is again. You just go about meeting people's needs wherever they are. Verse 12. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. We take that gospel into this dark world, praying for people to get them healed, agreeing with people on things that they're troubled over. Giving a word of wisdom as the Holy Spirit brings it to you. If that isn't the ministry of Jesus, what is? If that isn't the kingdom, what is? I'm waiting for a commission. Well, there's one in your lap. Going to all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. The Great Commission is the only commission, y'all. Now, there's different parts we play in it, but that in essence is. And that's what Brother Oral Roberts said the Lord was so upset about, because only five ministries in the whole world were doing what he asked them to do concerning the Great Commission. I'm thinking, oh, that's the sickest thing I've ever heard. Why? Well, we have our drama, you know, team, and we have our... And nothing wrong with that in its proper setting, but it's like we have our little programs, and we don't want to get outside those programs. We're going to have to. They're wanting the fish to jump in the boat. No, you got to go out where Jesus said, go out into the deep. Let your nets down for a haul. You got to go where they are. Okay, let's keep going here. Did I read 12? Yeah, I did. All right, instead of giving Satan place with your words, force him out for good. Clean it up. You know, when you speak words, you either give him entrance or none. Right? All right, Genesis 1. Let's just start with verse 2 there. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. This is the way the whole creation account is. God said. We're creating his likeness and image. All right. This scripture, you ought to know it by heart, this passage. 26. God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image, and the image of God created him. Male and female created he them. God blessed them. God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. He goes on to talk about the provision, that everything was here for man to be provided for. He wasn't to go out in the marketplace and work for a living. No, he was to further the kingdom. That was his job. It'll be our job again. Okay? That's what something Brother Copeland said years ago, and I think about everybody about swallowed their teeth over it. You know, you're working for a given, not for a living. That God didn't mean for you to work by the sweat of your brow. Well, you know, Adam. Well, you know, the second Adam's come. Second Adam's come. All right. On the 6 days of creation, God set in order everything that was out of order, and then he sat down and he is at rest. This is chapter 2. 1 and 2, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. He's been there ever since. All right. After you've spoken to your fig tree, rest. It doesn't come by how many times you say it. We've already qualified that. All right, let's keep going here. Matthew 12. The best thing that you can do is just be open. Wherever you go, just always be looking, you know. There may be a little woman come up with an issue of blood. You know, something like that. Wherever you go. Now, aren't those the ones that bless you the most? The ones that just, bam, like that. They're spontaneous and they just happen. You come away and say, that was a divine appointment. instant in season and out of season. All right, Matthew 12:22. And then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, Is not this the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. Sounds like the deep state, doesn't it? Donald Trump, they were talking about all the crimes that the Bidens have done, and there's no indictment. He's done no crimes, and he's indicted. Jesus just went about doing good, and he and all they were oppressed of the devil, the scripture says. And they called him the son of the devil and wanted to kill him. That's the way the world system is, the way of the world. All right, let's keep going here. 34. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of the judgment. And I'm going to say this. For thy words I shall be justified, and by thy words I shall be condemned. Lord, just quicken to me. When you're spending that time praying in tongues, you're storing up words to be spoken for his glory. Think about that. You're building your inner storehouse to go out. That's what Jesus did. It'll come up out of your spirit and it'll just flow out of you like rivers of living water. Pending the situation. All right? It's like pumping iron. Why do you pump iron? Well, now you can lift a bunch of stuff. Well, if you got to lift something, you got that strength in you. It's the same way with the ways of the spirit. You're built up in the spirit. You're going to have a storehouse full, and what comes out of it will be good. Is to help people. Okay, 14. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, this is a desert place, the time is now past. Send the multitude away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals. But Jesus said unto them, they need not depart, give ye them to eat. And they said unto him, we have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And he said, bring them hither to me. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass and took the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke it, and gave the loaves to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat and were filled, and they took up the fragments that remained 7 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men besides women and children. I don't know what all Jesus said over the food. He said, thank you, Lord, this will be enough. Who knows what he said, except what it said here. But it fed that many people. And 12 baskets full left over. Provision. Supernatural provision. All we've known is you got to work by the sweat of your brow to make money to go buy everything that you need. Not that way in the kingdom of God. All right, 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. When the evening was coming, was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. When Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. Have you ever seen anyone begin to sink? Think about that. No, it's either you're up there or you're down there. He began to sink. Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and called him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come to the ship, the wind ceased. Right here. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of truth, thou art the Son of God. Well, so are we. He made us sons of God. All right, Matthew 15. Get a drink here. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, Why do thy disciples transgress the traditions of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But he answered and said unto them, Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, Honor thy father and mother, and he that curses father and mother, let him die the death. But ye say, Whosoever shall say to his father or mother, It is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. The church is infiltrated with doctrines of men concerning diet, health, exercise, you name it. It's gospel now. Not God's gospel, but theirs. And he called the multitude and said unto them, Hear and understand, not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. Then came his disciples and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? So what? But he answered and said, Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. If the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Declare unto us this parable. And Jesus said, Are ye also yet without understanding? Do you not understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught? Don't think for a minute that the devil doesn't know it's your words. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile the man. This is how we produce. It's your thinking because of the propaganda. We're the jingle generation. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashing hands defileth not a man. See, all their traditions and things, they know. Satan knows. He saw God create, I'm sure. He knows how it works. They're so afraid of us, if we ever get a hold of the fact that what we say comes to pass, our words are powerful, and all their propaganda they pushed on us, the fear and all these things, they can no longer hurt us. They will be running for the caves. All right, Luke 10:19. We'll come back to Matthew, I think. Well, I passed it way up. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Paul and the vipers are a prime example. By all rights, he should have fallen dead within 30 seconds. That was the belief. See, since we were little bitty, we've been trained in the negative to believe that's harmful, you can't eat that, you can't do this, you can't do that. That's not scriptural, that's just traditions of men. And it's been programmed into you to the point that you believe it. And you've spoken out of your mouth the fear of it. Since the creation of the world, nothing has changed. God's people are still operating the same. Satan is still coming to steal, just like he did in Genesis 3. He is after your words because he knows how you operate. You operate just like God, whether your words are positive or negative. God has said that you can have whatever you say. Stop allowing the devil and his fear tactics to shipwreck your faith. Your saying will nullify your praying. If you will not allow Satan to intercept your words, you will get what you have said. Remember what the Holy Spirit said to me? The moment that your words were spoken, that's when the angel started to bring the answer in the book of Daniel. When you really grasp the power of your words and stop letting the little foxes spoil your vines, Satan will not have any inroad into your life. He is crafty and convinced the world that everything they eat, drink, and wear is poisonous. Everything physical is defined. The air, the land, the water, the real psyop is not this, but your defiled thinking processes. This is the thing to convince you not to speak anything but their fear, because they know if you get a hold of faith and you begin to speak that, they're done. They're done in your life. They're done in this world. It causes them to become double-minded, and their faith doesn't work. Satan's mission is accomplished when that happens. Okay. All right, just a few more scriptures here. Mark 16. Now, this is what Jesus said: when you go and take the gospel, when you leave your house and you're on a mission, Lord, divine appointments, whatever you have for me today, this is what he said. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Kingdom business. 1 Timothy 4:5. We'll start with 4. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Sanctified means to make holy, purify, consecrate mentally, to venerate. All right, a couple more and we'll be done. Mark 7. I'm telling you, this is the reason the Holy Spirit has me keep bringing this is because it compromises you. Verse 14 of Mark 7. And when he had called all the people unto him, he said unto them, hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. There's nothing from without a man. Nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him. But the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. That's what you believe and that's what you say. And if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was entered into the house, from the people's disciples asked him concerning the parable. And he said unto them, are ye so without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him? Because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly. What's in the belly? Acid. And goeth out into the draught, purging all meat. Oh, you absorb it through your skin and all these things and all this. No, it's in and out. In and out. Purging all meat. And he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. Because what you speak is based on what you think. For from within, out of the heart of men, that's the production center, that's your mind, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. Okay. Galatians 5. So we better be watching what we say, I think, right? Galatians 5:16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that ye would. And it goes on to talk about what the works of the flesh are. Satan's way is to keep you out of the Spirit and into the flesh. Walking in the Spirit will keep you out of the flesh. This fleshly way is not to help or cause one to get ahead. It is like a leech. It's like sucker roots draining out all your energy. There's one more scripture, Proverbs 30:15. If we really would watch our words, we'd be in a whole lot better shape. The harsh leech hath two daughters, crying, give, give. There are three things that are never satisfied, yea, four things say not, it is enough. In other words, a leech. That's what this system is, a leech, and it's fear. It's meant to drain our complete life energy, everything there is, till there's nothing left. Can't you feel the squeeze? Yeah. I mean, I know things are turning around, but it's like they've just gotten more, it's like you're in a vice grip. All right. You have the say.